This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on export growth estimates for June 2024. The participants are Dr. Ajay Sahai, Director General and CEO, Federation of Indian Export Organizations, and Lalima Anija Dang, Anchor.
It's in the interest of every country to reduce imports and push exports that would lead to a healthy economy. Our aim of being a self-reliant and strive to be an Atmanirbhar Bharat is a step in that direction. And recently, merchandise exports have gone up, and that's real good news. Well, for more on this, we have with us Dr. Ajay Sahai, DG CEO of FIEO, that stands for Federation of Indian Export Organization. Welcome, Dr. Sahai, to Akashvani Studios.
Thank you.
So India's goods and services exports have increased by 5.4% in June to $65.47 billion. Now, how significant is this for the health of Indian economy?
I think this growth is significant when we are looking into the global headwinds. Today, we are seeing that there are warlike situation in two parts of the world. We are having a war between Russia and Ukraine and between Israel and Hamas. There is a conflict which is going on. Red Sea is under threat. The entire logistics has been disrupted. And in such scenario, if India is clocking 5% plus growth, this is remarkable. Had it not been for the logistics challenges, probably this growth would have been in double digit. And that's why we feel that once the logistics challenges eases out, we will be in our course of a double digit growth into the country. We should also keep in mind that India is not an export-centric economy. Exports comes from the expansion of economy. So if export is showing good growth, it equally reflects on the economy as well. And from that perspective, since we are the fastest growing economy, I'm quite bullish about India's exports also.
So when we talk about India's exports, now India is a very peculiar country because of its diversity. Every corner or every village, every district will have its own produce to manufacture. We know about this ODOP, one district, one product. So do you think that this diversity helps us boost exports?
India has the advantage from the perspective that we are doing very well in sunrise sectors of export, driven by technology and knowledge, as well as in labor-intensive sectors of exports. Both segments are equally important for us. When we are talking about the technology-driven sector, they become important because their share in global import is increasing very fast. If you take into account the export of automobile, machinery, electrical and electronics, together they account for roughly 35% of the global imports, with a whopping size of around $7 trillion plus. The labor-intensive sectors become important from the perspective they are huge creators of jobs into the country. That's why, like India, it becomes extremely important that we come with a foreign trade policy which pushes both the segment. One, to help us to reach the milestone of $1 trillion plus. And the second, more importantly, is to create numbers of jobs. India is having a unique problem because we are, as a country, has defied the conventional economic transition where country moves from agriculture to manufacturing to services. We, in fact, graduated from agriculture to services and that has created its own problems. Manufacturing will be only providing the solution to that. So, to the extent we can push our labor-intensive sectors of export, which are extremely important because most of the production comes from Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and rural areas also. Government is also pushing a lot of emphasis on one district, one product. District is an export hub, GI products. And all these can help us to push our exports. The advantage of these labor-intensive sectors of export is that we can engage artisans and high-quality craftsmen also, women entrepreneurs, small businesses in the field of export. So from that perspective, I think we should have an ecosystem where we look into promoting both segments of export, A, the sunrise sectors, and B, the traditional sectors.
Yes, actually, you hit the nail on the head, and I was coming to that, sir, that on the one end of the spectrum is labor-intensive industry, like craftsmen and all, and on the other, we have high-end technical products like mobiles being exported, and we have now exporting electronics as well. Now, government has had a lot of reforms coming in. For example, we are aiming to become a pharma capital of the world. Now, we have mudra loans where somebody wants to set up his own entrepreneurship with his skills. On the other, we have MSME sector where now reforms like payment within 45 days has been put in place. Do you think that these reforms have led to increase in manufacturing and exports and created that kind of ecosystem, sir?
I entirely agree with you. Now, government is looking into providing an enabling and supportive ecosystem for export, which not only push India's exports, but more importantly, it propels the manufacturing. Because when I'm looking into the exports, I think for export to sustain, it's very important that manufacturing remain on track. So far, we have seen growth in manufacturing for a few months, and then there is probably require manufacturing to sustain on a long-term basis. You have rightly said that MSMEs are playing an extremely important role, both when it comes to manufacturing as well as in exports. Probably the profile of India's exports have moved in such a way that the share of MSMEs in total export is coming down. But we should not be worried about that. 10 years back, we were not exporting petroleum products where 2-3 large companies are involved. We were not in the electronics good where only large sector can achieve the economy of the scale. So far, the exports from MSME sector is going up. Even if the share is coming down, we should not at all be concerned about that. A government has looked into addressing number of challenges of the small exporters and small manufacturer. We have seen that how the collateral-free lending, which was extended by the government under the ECLGS scheme, has helped the sector. And I feel that this scheme was extremely timely, and probably we require that kind of scheme to continue.
Coming to another important factor, let's talk about infrastructure. Now, the government's expenditure on infrastructure is huge. And for the first time, the ambitious Gati Shakti program is in place. We see shaping up of ports, expressways, and all world-class, even railway stations, dedicated freight corridors. Do you think that has also contributed to manufacturing and therefore exports building up and promotion of exports?
No, I totally agree with you. If you look into Boston Consulting Group report, which was probably commissioned 5-6 years back, the report came with the conclusion that India is the second most competitive country in the manufacturing. So far, cost within the factory is concerned. We were outpriced because of the factors which are outside the factory, where infrastructure was an extremely important one. Fortunately for us, in the last 10 years or so, we have invested heavily in the infrastructure. We have the best of the roads. Not only the infrastructure, probably the processes which have also accompanied the infrastructure has helped it. Today, the Indian trucks, they cover a distance of around 700-750 kilometers a day, as against 300-350 kilometers 5-6 years down the line. This is largely because of infrastructure, but also of the process. We have seen how the GST, how the e-way bill, how the electronic plaza has helped it. So definitely we have invested enough in infrastructure. Gati Shakti has provided whole of government approach. We are not working in silos, and all ministries are integrated under this. I would also say that if you are looking into the Indian ports, the efficiency of the ports have also gone up. I was looking into some of the report where the turnaround time of container in JNPT is around 22 hours, which is near the international benchmark of 18 to 20 hours, which is witnessed in Singapore and Hong Kong, where most of it is for the transshipment purpose. So if we are looking into the JNPT, where the entire traffic is for the consumption within the country, these kinds of milestones are definitely very, very helpful. And I'm pretty sure the kind of investment which are continuing in the infrastructure will help the country to not only to remove many of the bottlenecks in the manufacturing, but it will facilitate exports, because in export delivery, the transit plays a very important role. We are a huge country, and for the landlocked, this becomes important because at times the domestic freight is much more than overseas freight.
And when you say we're not working in silos, actually you said it all, because actually can't be successful if you work in silos. We've had a great digitization process, as you just mentioned, the fast tag and intercity movement has been facilitated. The tax collection has been facilitated through digitized means. We are also now almost 100% electrified. All that, of course, adds to the ecosystem of greater efficiency, as you mentioned, the ports as well just now. We also have a gift city in Gujarat. Do you think the special economic zones also have a role to play in this?
Special economic zones are definitely helping the exports. Some modification in special economic zone schemes will be on the card, where some of the issues relating to domestic sale will be addressed. I'm also looking into a season to develop into a model where there is no distinction between exports and the domestic sale. All that, if they are selling in a domestic market, they are paying the adequate duty. If that kind of change can be brought in the SCZ, probably it can address number of issues besides helping the exports. Today, when we are seeing our MSMEs, most of the money of the SMEs are in the development of land and construction of the building. With the result, they are left very less money to invest in capital or machinery. If we have the plug-and-play facility, which may be in industrial township or maybe in the special economic zone, because some of the special economic zones have excess land, probably that can provide the answer. This will also help us in attracting the FDI, because when the FDI is locating into the country, they want to quickly start the production. They can't wait to acquire the land and construct the building, which may take a year or so. Today, we are seeing that the FDI are moving to the country where they can kick-start production in months' time or so. We have the advantage of a huge market, but probably at this point of time, we should also allow the FDI to come and start production to our country under the plug-and-play model in a month or a 2 months' time.
You have given some nice ideas. Any other wish list you may have, because we do expect the budget to come up on the 25th of July and everyone's waiting with bated breath as to what would the finance minister come up with to promote exports further from our country.
What is that point that R&D should be incentivized into the country, because unless we invest in R&D, probably sustaining export on a long-term basis remains a challenge. Globally, R&D has been incentivized. In fact, 35 out of 38 OECD countries, they provide tax deduction on R&D. Unfortunately, in our country, we are not providing tax deduction. It's just 100%. So it's as good as business expenses. We want that R&D government should provide a tax deduction of 250% to 300%. So that companies invest in R&D. We have to keep in mind that R&D is a high-risk area with a lot of uncertainty and a long gestation period. So we have to look into. Second thing which I would like the government to take a lead is to develop an Indian shipping line of global repute. We are talking about the Atmanirbhar Bharat. We have seen how the container manufacturing in India has brought down the container costs in the country, and it has immensely benefited the exim sector. We want that Corporation of India or a private sector company should come into the shipping business so that we do not remain at the mercy of the foreign shipping line. We are remitting close to $75 to $80 billion as transport freight only. We will be saving adequate amount of that if we develop an Indian shipping line. So from the budget perspective, I would just like to have a focus on the R&D by encouraging them through tax deduction and draw a roadmap for developing an Indian shipping line of the global repute.
Well said. Actually, currently, we are among the countries which have lowest spend on R&D. Any areas you think which would need more focus as far as exports are concerned? A few years ago, we wouldn't have thought of even the retail sector investing in, let's say, fruits and vegetables. But now, the domestic market, there are investors. The industry has come up to take over this very fragile business of vegetables and fruits. In your opinion, are there any areas which need a little more focus as far as export goods are concerned?
I think the government is putting focus on the agriculture sector and also on the food processing sector. The need of the hour is to have the value addition in the sector. Roughly a sizable amount of Indian agriculture produced is exported as such without much processing or without much value addition. If you look into other countries, more than 50% of their agriculture export is of the processed product. So probably we have to look into how we move towards a value-added exports into the agriculture sector, with what we require from, let us say, pre-harvest to post-harvest and taking the goods up to the ports, what kind of refrigeration facility would be required, what kind of pack houses would be required, whether we could look into reducing the duty further on these items so that we can propel agriculture. We have to bear in mind that we are looking towards an export of around $100 billion of agriculture products, and that in the process will also be doubling the farmers' income. So I think we need to put more focus on that. I expect that budget would do something more for the agriculture sector, though we have seen that in the past also, agriculture has been rightly our priority also.
Right, so agriculture and the textile industry being the largest employers, also the railways in fact. Thank you very much for your suggestions and for your views and reviews, sir, on this topic.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on export growth estimates for June 2024. The participants were Dr. Ajay Sahai, Director General and CEO, Federation of Indian Export Organizations, and Lalima Anija Dang, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsgtalks@gmail.com.